This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. The final trailer for Avengers Infinity War was recently released, and joining me to break down the trailer and give his thoughts on all Infinity news is managing editor at Movies.com, Eric Davis. Thanks for joining me, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What were your thoughts about the final trailer for Avengers Infinity War?
My thoughts are it looks pretty intense. You know, this looks like a film that is going to have a lot going on. It's going to have a lot of characters. It's going to be juggling multiple storylines. I give the writers credit for being able to kind of figure this whole thing out, and I'm excited for it. I mean, how can you not be, especially if you're a Marvel Studios fan, a Marvel Cinematic Universe fan, to see all of these characters together on screen? Pretty cool. And so I think it's going to offer a very different experience, and I'm curious to see. I really want to see the Guardians of the Galaxy kind of square off and meet the Avengers. I think that's something a lot of people want to see. So I'm excited for it.
So I've been hearing rumors that someone's going to die in Avengers Infinity War, and I've been trying to cross characters off the list. We know Spider-Man, T'Challa from Black Panther, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man. They're pretty safe because those are guaranteed sequels. But who do you think's going to die off in this movie?
You know, it's when you have a comic book movie, you know, let's keep in mind that anybody that dies in this film, you know, they could come back at some point down the line. You know, that we see that in the comics all the time. They kill the characters, and then somebody assumes that identity, but then the original character comes back. So we'll see. I definitely think, if I were to guess, I think there'll probably be multiple casualties, and I would look at that original roster. I would look at Captain America and Chris Evans. I would look at Chris Hemsworth and Thor. I would look at Robert Downey Jr. As Iron Man. I would say those three, Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye, I would say that batch has the potential to go. Maybe even Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow. We could see any collection of that go. I hope they keep around the Hulk, because the Hulk's cool. I don't want to see the Hulk go. But, you know, I think that original crew from the first Avengers, I think any one of them could go, and probably more than one of them will go. Almost certainly Iron Man. Downey Jr. is out. He's tapping out. He's gotta.
What do you mean he's gotta?
He's done so many of these movies. I think it's time for him to sort of retire. You know, he launched the whole MCU in 2008. Iron Man is the first film that launched this entire universe. It would make sense that the last film of this storyline would say goodbye to him. That would make the most sense. You know, I like Chris Evans as Captain America. I like Chris Hemsworth as Thor. But I could see those two guys potentially leaving us as well. But we'll see. Maybe Thor sticks around, because I kind of like the new, funnier Thor. I'd like to see another Thor movie like Thor Ragnarok. I thought that movie was amazing. So maybe not Thor, but we'll see. You know, they have so many characters. That's the good thing, you know. And so even if they got rid of those three main characters, they have all these other characters to work with. And I think Black Panther, I think we're going to emerge out of these Infinity War movies with Black Panther being the head and the kind of spearheading the future of these films.
So I know we've not been officially introduced to Captain Marvel, but do you think she'll make a cameo in this movie?
Originally, she was supposed to.
Oh.
Originally, she was supposed to make a cameo. And then the director said, no, actually, strike that. She's not going to make a cameo in this movie. We're going to save her for the next Avengers movie. You know, the solo Captain Marvel movie is going to arrive between Avengers movies. So I think next February or March, right around then, is when it's going to arrive. They just started shooting it with Brie Larson. So I don't, you know, it would be kind of, you know, they told the press, they told everyone she's not in it, and they told the press to report that she's not in it. So if she is in it, then they should have an explanation for that, because, you know, you don't want to misdirect the press like that. But I'm curious. I don't think the movie needs her. I think that they can kind of get away with. I think they have enough characters. I don't necessarily think they need Captain Marvel to just kind of show up for a scene and be like, "Hi, I'm here too." So I could see them saving her and bringing her in for the fourth Avengers movie. And maybe if they do tease her, maybe they tease her in the Ant-Man movie that's coming out this summer. Maybe that's where we see a cameo from her.
And one of the coolest things about the MCU like movies is that we have all these megastars in there. There's Robert Downey Jr., Chris Pratt, Benedict Cumberbatch. That's just to name a few, right? Do you think we'll ever see a powerhouse movies like this ever again?
You know, if it makes a gajillion dollars, then yeah, for sure. You know, but I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever see a movie of this scale. And like, we don't even know Avengers, the fourth Avengers movie. You know, they're keeping that one close to the chest because I imagine the events of this movie will dictate what that movie is. And so we may not get all these characters in that fourth Avengers movie. And so this Avengers Infinity War may be the first and last time we get this many characters assembled for one movie. You know, but like I said, if it makes bazonkers money, they'll figure out a way to build up the next set of movies to that, you know. And so you have to understand the X-Men movies are also have their own universe going, and the Deadpool sequel is going to expand that universe. And so I definitely think at some point we're going to get to a movie, a universe that's expanded enough to include a bunch of different characters. But this is definitely a milestone for these movies. I think this is one of the biggest movies that Disney's ever released. And so it'll be interesting to see how they deliver with all of these characters. Because if fans walk out of this movie and they're like, you know what, there were just too many characters, I couldn't invest in the film, then maybe that says, okay, we can't do this again. But if they come out and they're like, we loved every minute of it and it makes just crazy money, then we'll see another one of these at some point down the line.
Okay, so have you heard that there's going to be a 31-hour Marvel movie marathon?
I have heard that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what is this going to be in theaters or is it going to be on TV?
It'll probably be in theaters. I think they're doing one. I think one of the theater chains is doing one. I've heard different marathons.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I definitely know that there are some marathons where they'll just show the Avengers movies. And then there's another one that's a 31-hour one. I'm not exactly sure which theaters are housing the long one, so you'd have to Google it and see. But it makes sense, right, of all of the Marvel movies, if somebody wants to just go for it. For me, that's a bit much, but I'm sure they exist. There's all kinds of different marathons that exist if you're a really hardcore fan of this franchise. And so my advice is to Google it and put it together. Because I'm sure there's somebody that's done that article of here are all the different marathons that you can go enjoy.
I was thinking, would Black Panther be part of that marathon? Probably, right?
Oh yeah, it'll be every MCU movie leading up to Infinity War. It'll be all of them, and they all equal 31 hours. It's funny. I think somebody said there was something like when Black Panther came out, if you watched one Marvel movie a week, then you would end up at Infinity War for the release week of Infinity War, something like that. But then they moved it back to April 27th. That's the new release date for Infinity War, so maybe that's null and void now. But I know a lot of people who are rewatching them all and kind of getting into the spirit of it. And you know, this isn't the last one. This is not the there is a fourth Avengers movie that's coming out next year, but like I said, we don't know what that's going. We don't know anything about that film because the events of this movie are going to dictate what that movie is.
Now, with Black Panther being so successful, do you think that it's going to overshadow Infinity War a bit?
I mean, I definitely think that people are going to be looking for those Black Panther scenes for sure. Because it's multiple characters from that movie that are in Infinity War. Letitia Wright, who played Shuri, is in it. Danai Gurira, who played Okai, is in it. So there are multiple characters from that film. Some of the film takes place on Wakanda. So, I mean, I definitely think it's going to be a conversation. People are going to want to know how is Black Panther represented in this film. But I don't necessarily think that it'll overshadow it too much because there's just a lot going on with the movie. There are a lot of these other films that people have been invested in, the storyline that's been culminating into this movie. So I think there are a lot of other things to talk about, to focus on. But I do think, you know, Black Panther is fresh on the mind. And so, you know, we interviewed Joe Russo, one of the co-directors of the film, recently. And the first question we asked him was, how much Black Panther are we seeing in this movie? Because people want to know that right now. And so we'll get a little bit of him, and we'll get a little bit of Wakanda. But, you know, don't worry. They're definitely working on a sequel. And we'll see a lot more Black Panther. And the last question we asked was, like, just tell us you don't destroy Wakanda. And he was like, hey, anything is up for grabs. The entire planet is up for grabs when it comes to this film. So we'll have to see and cross our fingers that Wakanda doesn't get too damaged.
To tie in with Black Panther a bit, in March, Tomb Raider was released, and some people considered it to be a flop, but do you think that it was just bad timing, like just the fact that Black Panther was just such a powerhouse that nothing really could grow like other movies in March?
You know, not necessarily. I saw some people saying that Black Panther, because of it was so successful, it hurt these other movies coming into March. I think that the movies, if they're really great movies, people are going to go see them, you know? So I don't necessarily think Black Panther hurt it. I think Tomb Raider was good. I just don't think it was good enough to kind of permeate, in order to be a successful movie these days, you got to break through in some kind of way. Social media, the constant conversation there's a lot on television, and you can't just deliver a middle-of-the-road action movie because it's not gonna make enough noise. And so you have to kind of take it to the next level. I think Tomb Raider was good. It wasn't great. I think Alicia Vikander was really great. I think she's a great actress. I think she did a really good job with the role. But I don't think it was a Tomb Raider that necessarily took things to the next level, and that's why it didn't kind of take over the box office from Black Panther. Pacific Rim Uprising had a bit of a built-in fan base. It was making a lot of noise on social media. John Boyega, who executive produced and starred, he was making a lot of noise on social media about it. And so what we saw that film kind of come out of the gate and top Black Panther. And so I think it's a little bit of a mix of, when you deliver a movie these days, you just have to have, it rolling on all cylinders. And social media and word of mouth plays a really big part these days.
I heard that screenwriter Zach Penn is currently screenwriting a Matrix movie. And I don't know, is this going to be a reboot, a sequel, or like expanding on it? Like, what is it, Matrix 4?
Yeah, you know, we don't know a lot about that, but he is. He is writing a Matrix movie that's expanding upon the universe. I don't necessarily think it's a remake. It's not a reboot. And it's not necessarily a sequel, I don't think. I think it's going to be one of those movies that sort of expands the universe in some way. And so maybe maybe it's a different story of somebody else that's kind of dealing with the Matrix, and maybe it crosses over in some aspects to the stories that we know, but it goes off in its own direction and has its own characters. I think kind of that's where they're going with it, but they're keeping that a bit quiet now. And I know Zach, and I just saw him because I was out covering the Ready Player One movie. He wrote the screenplay for Ready Player One that comes out this week. And I forgot to ask him about The Matrix. I should have, though, now that you reminded me about it. But he's a great writer. He's a good guy. And I think that whatever he kind of churns out will be pretty cool. I'm curious to see it. But, you know, The Matrix has its own built-in sort of conflicts. You know, people love the first one, not so much the second two. Very much a movie that was owned by its creators, by the Wachowskis. And so, you know, I think when you touch The Matrix and you kind of bring in new people and a new director and what have you, you just got to be really careful. You know, you want to honor what was there and what we loved about the first one, but you want to keep it accessible. I feel like the second two Matrix movies, they got really heady. And I felt like they kind of veered off the spirit of that first movie a bit, and they got lost in its own concept. And so I think it's really important to kind of remember that, and make a new Matrix movie that just really honors everything we loved about that original. That's what I would like to see.
I hope they have Keanu Reeves in some kind of capacity. I don't know. I like the guy.
I don't know. Do you, though? Look, I like Keanu Reeves, too. And, I mean, Keanu Reeves isn't exactly, you know, the hardest guy to get in your movie. So they could throw him in there. They could have nods to him at some point. But, you know, I don't necessarily need another Keanu Reeves Matrix movie. I could go for a new crop of characters, and they could talk about Neo. They could reference Neo. They can give him a cameo, whatever they want to do. But, like, give us some new characters, some cool characters.
I don't know. Just have him in the background, because I think, oh, God, it's been so long since I've seen those movies that Neo got absorbed into the Matrix. So couldn't he just kind of be there, you know, in the background, like Neo, boom, and it'd be cool, like, little cameo.
For sure. For sure. I mean, they could create anything they want in the Matrix, so they can create a Neo that's a bad guy. You know, they could do whatever they want, you know. And so I think that's where I'd like to see the Matrix go, is really use your imagination in terms of that Matrix. You know, we saw these agents, Agent Smith was the bad guy for like three movies. But I think they missed an opportunity to create these larger-than-life crazy characters in this Matrix. And I think that's what I would like to see from the next evolution of this. And take a page out of Star Wars. Look at how Star Wars is sort of slowly expanding their mythology and their universe, you know, outside of these original characters. And then they're going to now create new Star Wars movies that have nothing to do with the Luke Skywalker saga. And so I think that is what they're going to do with that, I think, is what we're going to see with The Matrix. We're going to see a familiar world, but we're going to see a different part of that world.
So speaking of franchises, Justice League is officially the lowest grossing DCEU movie so far. Do you think they'll ever make another Justice League in the future, or they're just going to stick to single stories of Wonder Woman 1, 2, and 3, Superman, you know, et cetera, et cetera?
I mean, I don't think we're going to see a Justice League movie next year. I think they need to course correct a little bit in that area. But, I think it's a no-brainer. How do you not make another Justice League movie? I don't know if I would make another Justice League movie with these same actors and the same characters and in the same universe. But, you know, I don't know how you say, all right, we tried, you know, and we don't need to do that again. I mean, it's Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, The Flash. You have all these great characters who've teamed up for so many years in the comics. There's so many great storylines. I mean, to just abandon that, I think, would be foolish, you know. So I think that they do need to course correct a little bit and kind of get the DC properties into a place where they're hitting a groove the way Marvel did. And once they do that, I think that they should definitely come back with a Justice League movie. But we'll see. There'll be one, but not right away.
So I've heard Flash, Aquaman, and there's a Wonder Woman too. But Batman, like Ben Affleck, is there going to be a Batman movie with him?
There's supposed to be.
Is there really?
There's supposed to be a solo Batman movie directed by Matt Reeves, who did the last two Planet of the Apes movies. I think he's supposed to be writing it as well. And from at least right now, Ben Affleck is playing Batman in that movie. Will that change? It could, for sure. But as of right now, they're developing a solo Batman movie for him with Matt Reeves directing it. Do I think Ben Affleck's going to stay as Batman? I don't. But we'll see. Right now, he is attached to play Batman, and so we can't say that he's not. I think, though, that we'll see somebody else take over that mantle. Rumor had it that Jake Gyllenhaal was that guy, but nothing official is out as of now.
Do you think they should just get rid of Ben Affleck at this point? Because if they do another Justice League movie, Ben Affleck may not be a part of that one. So why not start a little fresh now, or no?
I don't know. You know, it depends on the story. I like Ben Affleck as Batman. I like him as Bruce Wayne. I think if they wrote a really cool Batman story, I'd be down to watch it with him in it. You know, I don't necessarily think it's who's playing Batman, to be honest with you. I think it's the story. That really is it. I mean, I wasn't really sold on Christian Bale as Batman, but, you know, Christopher Nolan told some really cool stories, and that's what I was invested in. I wasn't necessarily invested in his Batman because, I mean, his Bruce Wayne was kind of boring, yeah. And his Batman was kind of boring. So, you know, Christian Bale wasn't wasn't the guy who saved those movies. That was Christopher Nolan and his cinematography. And in case of The Dark Knight, Heath Ledger. You know, that's what saved those. That's what made those movies. And so, you know, it's not necessarily who plays Batman. That's not what I care about. I care about the story and the characters that you're surrounding Batman. That's what I care the most about.
Now, I heard that Indiana Jones will be released in 2020, and Harrison Ford is going to be returning. But what about Shia LaBeouf? Will he be?
I have not heard. You know, I just interviewed Steven Spielberg, and he was telling me that he's going to spend the rest of this year preparing to not just make an Indiana Jones 5 in 2019, but he's going to also do a remake of West Side Story in 2019.
Really?
But Shia LaBeouf, I don't think we'll see him. You know, I think that there was a bit of a clash with him and Spielberg and that movie, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And Shia LaBeouf is kind of off on his own thing right now, doing his own thing. And I just don't think that he's the right person to return for that. I think they'll go in another direction.
So, wait, let's go back a little bit. Steven Spielberg said West Side Story. I love West Side Story. He's going to redo that?
He is. He's in the process of casting a remake of West Side Story.
So that'll
be fun to see, I think. And I'm curious to see how they do it. I don't know if it's going to be modernized or if they're going to keep it kind of period. I don't know enough about it. But I know that they're casting now, and Spielberg's going to direct it. So that I'm excited for that. So it'll be his first musical, right? I think so, right?
Yes, yeah. It is a wonderful musical that my mother made me watch.
Yeah, it'll be his. I think it's going to be his first musical, Spielberg.
That's something
we've never seen from him before. So I'd be really interested to see how that shapes up.
Man, I'm a big fan of it. My mother made sure of that, and I'm excited of that. I love that.
Oh, yeah,
I love that musical.
I love the original.
Speaking of Steven Spielberg, I have to ask, did you hear about what he was commenting about movies should not qualify for Oscars? What do you think of that?
Yeah, he said that Netflix movies should not qualify for Oscars. I mean, look, I agree with him to a certain extent. I think if a movie is on TV, and that's its primary kind of, that's how it's shown, then it should certainly qualify for an Emmy, but should that automatically make it qualify for an Oscar? You know, I think that, you know, his point is that the more, you know, yes, we're getting a lot more quality from the movies that are being put out on streaming services, but, you know, we don't want to devalue the movie-going experience. You don't want to devalue the big-screen experience. The Oscars are a ceremony for movies that come out on the big screen and in a big way. And so I think he's saying that he doesn't want a movie that comes that debuts on Netflix but is thrown in a couple of movie theaters for 2 weeks just to kind of follow the guidelines for the Oscars. You know, I think if you're going to make a movie and you want it to qualify for the Oscars, put it in a bunch of theaters. Let people from around the country watch it on the big screen. You know, I definitely think those movies that are premiering on the streaming services, they're great movies. They're solid movies. I think they definitely deserve the accolades that they're getting. But I think once you open up the floodgates and you let all of them be recognized by the Oscars, then what you're doing is you are just devaluing the big screen experience. And so I'm a big fan of seeing movies on the big screen, and I don't want to devalue that. And so I do agree to a certain extent. But what I would like to see is I'd like to see some of those bigger movies from the streaming services that they do want to contend for Oscars. I'd love to see them in more theaters. I'd love to see them in places where everyone around the country, not just in New York and Los Angeles, can watch those movies on the big screen. That's what I would like to see.
I'm glad you said that, because I was thinking something similar, like why not have the movies come out in theaters for 3 months and then exclusively on Netflix afterwards? I think that would have been satisfying, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's not their model. You know, Amazon will do that. Amazon will put their movies in theaters for a certain amount of time and then put it on Amazon. But Netflix, you know, they're very beholden to their motto, which is day and date. You know, they will put a movie of theirs in theaters, but not many theaters, because a lot of the theater chains won't play it if it's debuting on Netflix at the same time. And so that whole system, I think, is going to evolve over the next couple of years, especially as Netflix continues to put out so much content. My theory is that I think they'll eventually buy their own theater chain and work it into the subscription and then play all their movies on the big screen. That's my theory. But, you know, whatever the case may be, I just would like to see their movies, the movies that they want to put up for Oscars, you know, then put your money where your mouth is, put them on the big screen in a bunch of theaters, let people see them that way, and then they'll qualify for Oscars. I just don't want to devalue the big screen experience, you know, and that's what the Oscars are about, and so that's what I want to see.
Speaking of big screen experiences, so you said that you went and watched Ready Player One already. What'd you think of it?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it twice. I'm a big fan of it. Yeah, I like it a lot. You know, I think it's the kind of big adventure movie that Spielberg hasn't made in a long time. And I think when you watch it, you'll know exactly what I mean by that. You know, it's just classic Steven Spielberg. It's got all of his trademark kind of things. It's got great action sequences. It's got, you know, humor and heart. And it's really timely and relevant. It's, you know, it's got these themes of, like, you know, get off of your technology, you know, communicate with people in the real world. That's more important than being lost in a fake fictional world created by technology. And so, plus it's got tons of little references and Easter eggs in there from pop culture from the 80s and 90s and even the 2000s. And so, you know, if you're a pop culture junkie, if you're a fan of Steven Spielberg, if you read the book, I think if you're a gamer, I think you'll really dig the film. I really enjoyed it. I think it's just a great, wholesome, entertaining experience. You know, that's the kind of film that you grew up watching Steven Spielberg deliver.
Well, besides Ready Player One to watch this month, are there any other movies to check out?
Well, the Ready Player One's going to finish out the month of March. Okay. In early April, there's a film called A Quiet Place that comes out, I believe, April 6th. It was directed by John Krasinski. It stars John Krasinski and his real-life wife, Emily Blunt. They play married couple in the movie. And it's a really cool monster movie. You know, unlike any monster movie I've seen before, it's about a couple, it's about a family, really, who live in this cabin in the middle of the woods, and they can't make a sound or else a monster attacks. And so they kind of go through this movie trying not to make a sound. Of course, she's pregnant, and of course, she's about to deliver the baby any day now, and you know the babies are going to make a sound when they're delivered. So it's building up to that, but it's a really cool premise for a monster movie, and they deliver it, and they execute it in a really cool way. So if you're a fan of, like, thrillers or horrors or monster movies, I highly recommend A Quiet Place. I think it's going to be one of the surprise hits of April. There's also a really great comedy called Blockers with John Cena and Leslie Mann, and it's about a group of parents who will stop at nothing to prevent their daughters from losing their virginity on prom night, and it's just a filthy, raunchy, R-rated comedy that just had me rolling. So if you're looking for, like, just a laugh out loud, you know, but keep in mind it's really R-rated. If you're looking for one of those comedies, then see Blockers.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. And for those listening, where can they find more information about you?
You can always find me doing stuff at Fandango, and then at Eric Davis, E-R-I-K, D-A-V-I-S, on Twitter, and you can follow my daily adventures over there.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.